And music will start now.
All right. This is Ken Alexander. Welcome back to another episode of Get Your Barbecue On. And I'm here with the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones.
It's me. It's me. I'm back.
All right, doctor.
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on today, man. We're going to be talking ribs.
Ooh.
Barbecue ribs.
The greatest invention ever created.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that everybody always, you know, when you think about barbecue, something pops in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And since the time I was a little kid, the thing that pops in my head when I think about barbecue ribs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even when I was a kid, you know, every 4th of July, and I think he did it on Labor Day. My dad would go out and start up his, what did he have? He had a charcoal grill.
Okay.
And it would make the entire neighborhood smell like barbecue. Mm. You knew the Joneses were barbecuing. You knew what season it was.
All right.
When it was, you know, when he was out there doing his ribs.
On the grill.
Oh, man. And I would watch him prepare it for like 2 days before he put it on the grill.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Wow, oh, there was a lot of prep work.
Yeah, he put a lot into that.
Absolutely. Right? He put his foot in it.
Yeah, there you go.
Each and every time. And it was all so right. Good.
Yeah.
And it was funny, actually. True story, my ex-wife was about to go into labor.
Wow.
On Labor Day. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I'm like, labor on Labor Day. Exactly. Okay. I can't make it up.
There you go.
And I told her, I'm like, look, I know you are ready to push out a baby. We got to have my dad's barbecue ribs before we go.
Man. You know, I want to say, man, that didn't have anything to do with why it's your ex, right?
Right. No, because she agreed a second she tasted it. She's like, baby, you got to wait.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool, man.
Ribs are that good.
Right.
Ribs are that good.
They are that good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first.
We get into it. How do we buy one? Where do you find some?
Yeah. I mean, ribs, you can basically find them just about anywhere. Your local grocery store, your local meat market, you can find them just about anywhere.
Nice.
And just about any kind of rib, you know. I mean, there's certain cuts and certain things. I mean, you're pretty familiar with the cuts of meat, right? The different types of ribs.
I am now. Yes, I am.
You know, I mean, you're being and have, almost graduated from.
Yes. It took 3 years so far, folks. This is a 4-year course. I'm on my senior year now.
Yeah, but you've done everything except haven't walked down the aisle. You know, I mean, you know, right. Well, I say the pomp and circumstance.
Right. That's what I'm looking forward to.
And all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. So, all right, man, go ahead and... Well, tell us about those different types
absolutely.
Of ribs.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's three types of ribs. And so you have spare ribs. Now, these are from the belly side of the rib cage. And they're flatter. They have more bone than meat. And they also are packed with flavor. Because remember, in many previous shows, we talked about how we want to make sure that the flavor is so good, right? We layer the flavor. That's what we talk about. And on top of that, when meat is by the bone, that's where you get the most flavor. That flavor is so good. And then next, we also have the St. Louis style. Now, if I remember correctly, Ken, this is your favorite style.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is my favorite style.
It is.
You can buy them St. Louis or you can make them yourself.
That's right.
Cut them yourself.
Because in this one, they have the ability to make the rib tips with it.
Right. You take that spare rib, you cut off the top, which is you call the brisket.
Right.
And you use that brisket for the tips. And then that rectangular piece of meat that's left, which is so delicious.
It is. Yeah. It's perfect finger food.
That is called the St. Louis cut.
Perfect, perfect. And then last but not least, you have the baby back ribs. And that's from the upper part of the rib cage. And they're meatier, they're tender, and they have a slight curve to them. And that's how you can tell the difference between that in the St. Louis style and the spare ribs there.
Right. There you go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you got your ribs,
yeah,
it's time for prep.
It is.
Right. And so the first thing, and I learned this from my mom, the first thing you have to do when you're prepping ribs is remove the membrane.
Back of the rib. Chewy membrane. Because if you don't, that thing is extra chewy for no reason.
Right. And that little thing, that little stuff, that little membrane sometimes gets stuck in your teeth and whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but my mom was a real stickler about taking off that membrane. And then, you know, she went somewhere and, you know, had some ribs. Somebody offered her some ribs, or you went to a cookout or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that membrane was not, you know, it was still there.
Right.
It was still intact.
Ugh.
Yeah, she wouldn't have anything good to say about the ribs, regardless of the flavor. It's like, why did they leave that membrane on?
It is.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
And it's easy to take off. It's not hard to take off. You just get a butter knife. You said butter knife.
Right.
And you just give it a little start, and then you get a paper. What I usually do is I just get a paper towel, and I just rip it all off.
Yeah.
Pull it off.
That makes it really easy, really easy. Now, you know, the doctor, know, I mean, as you went through your pit master, grill master training, you know, you really basically honed in on flavors.
Oh, my goodness.
That's your thing.
You
always talk about flavors. And so
what
about layering flavors into these ribs before we start to cook them?
You know, it's all about that bass. I'm going to say that. You know, that was a song, actually. That was a song back in the day. All about the bass. No trouble. Mm-hmm. That's what they said.
No trouble. About the bass.
It is. And as long as you have a good flavor in that bass, you got no trouble. What you're going to add on top of it. You see what I did there? That's the DJ side of me coming out. That's the barbecue DJ, the pitmaster DJ coming out right now.
Yeah, there you go.
On the ones and twos.
The doctor on the ones and twos. the bass.
It's all about the bass.
Right.
And you know
what? The binder.
Exactly.
The bass, the binder.
The favorite at home right now is mustard.
Oh, yeah.
Mustard. Because we've tried ranch.
Mm-hmm.
They liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
Italian dressing.
Yeah.
That was all right.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard, their favorite. Their favorite.
Yeah.
If I do this cooking oil, this regular cooking oil,
right,
I might as well not serve it.
Olive oil, cooking oil.
I might as well not serve it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's missing something.
Yeah.
It's missing something. And it starts in that base.
Right. So you're using mustard as your binder. And
where
do you go from there?
Well, from there is about what am I feeling? How am I feeling? And I have a beautiful set of rubs because I've been making my own rubs as I go.
Go ahead,
check this
doctor.
Out. Through smell. I will smell a few things and that's going to taste really good. And then also what we have had in a while, what we haven't had in a while, and just playing around, just really playing around and seeing what I get. And then, of course, I'm recovering from cream soda still.
I know, man. I mean, you've been on the wagon, man, almost a couple years
now. It's been hard. It's been hard because every time I get on that grill, I wanna have a cold one in my hand. But, you know, I do my best to not do that.
But that doesn't
mean I don't add it, because you can add in spritz, which we'll talk about in a minute. You can add in so many things to keep layering that flavor.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, doctor.
Yes.
So you got that, and you said you have your own rub now.
Yeah.
So we talked about the base. We talked about the rub. And so when you do that, how long do you Do you do it overnight, a few hours? What do you do? How long do you let it?
Let her sit, let her marinate, let it soak in.
Right.
I always do it overnight.
Okay.
Yeah, I always do it. I know that at one time you said you can do it a couple hours and throw it in, but right. I'm an overnight. I want it in there. I really want it in the meat.
Right. Yeah. So if you have the time to do it overnight, but you know, if you just woke up that morning saying, man, I have ribs on my mind and I need some today, well, yeah, a couple hours a day.
Yeah, fix it in the morning. By the afternoon when you get off of work, it's ready to go on that grill.
All right. And so you mentioned the spritz.
Yes.
Yeah, the spritz. And again, we're talking about flavors here, flavors. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people use like apple juice.
Right.
They use apple juice, apple cider vinegar, different things like that. And then, you know, our expert that's coming on the show here right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rob King, uh-huh. You know, he's the king of
beer.
Beer.
Everything beer.
Everything beer. Yeah.
Cooking with beer.
Yeah. So he is, so you can use beer.
You can.
Right. A lot of different things. Now, I usually prefer to put together a little mixture of seasonings, and then I'll just add them to water.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll add a little beer. It just depends. And I make my spritz. And, you know, just try it. You know, whatever flavors you want to, like, layer in there. And so you make your little spritz there. Put it in a spray bottle. You don't want to use anything, any kind of seasoning.
Right.
That may clog up that sprayer.
Absolutely.
Right.
Or quench a fire.
Yeah. Or quench a fire.
But, not a good idea.
But you can add in that bottle, whatever you want to add those flavors with. And then you have your spritz. Mm-hmm. And then, so occasionally.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Because you don't want to open that top up a lot.
No.
But when you do.
Yes.
Hit it with the spritz.
I agree.
Keep that moisture in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, I have my own rub. You have your own rub.
I do.
And I would suggest, folks, don't be afraid to go out and buy some rubs.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's a lot of good rubs out there on the shelves.
And just play with spices.
Yeah.
Play with season. Play with what tastes good to you. And don't be afraid to go out and explore.
There you go.
You become a scientist. I consider myself a mad scientist in my kitchen. It's funny when my girls are like, ooh, Dad's in the kitchen. That means he's cooking up something good. And if I come out with cereal, they're like, what's that? Dinner. I'm tired.
I hear that. So we talk about flavor. We get the ribs. We got them all seasoned up. And now, what about the other flavor, the wood?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what's your preference for wood, doctor?
You got me on hickory.
Yeah.
You got me on hickory. Because for a long time, I was doing mesquite. Yeah, I was doing mesquite, and it was fine. It was good. But, man, I tried hickory one time, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, from where we live, mesquite is abundant.
It is.
It's everywhere.
Totally.
It's laying around. You're walking down the street, there's mesquite. Mesquite's everywhere.
It is.
And a lot of people just use it. It's easy. You have easy access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not very expensive.
Right.
But for me, you know, I'm not a big fan of mesquite. It's just too strong of a flavor
for me.
And it just kind of, it overpowers the meat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And growing up in the South like I did, you know, hickory's the thing.
Absolutely. Because you can still taste the meat.
Right.
You can still taste the flavor of the meat and also have that other flavor that you're looking for.
And it has a little sweetness or whatever.
Ooh, so it does. So
you have the hickory. I also use pecan. You know, hickory's hard to come by out here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So hickory and pecan are in the same family.
Right.
Yeah, so you come up with your wood.
Yeah. And you can do wood pouches.
Right. If you're using gas.
Yeah. Grill. Yeah.
Right. You can use a wood pouch and just use hickory chips.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, doctor. So we talked about the flavor. We talked about the flavors, the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time we're talking about barbecuing.
Ooh, low and slow.
Low and slow, baby. Low and slow. And you know, we have those two temperatures we always talk about on Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast.
That's right.
You've got your
internal temperature. That's the temperature inside the meat.
Yeah.
And then also the temperature that it's cooking at, the temperature of the grill.
The cooking temperature.
Exactly.
And we're talking about low and slow. Typically, most folks doing low and slow, they're talking about, they're doing 225 to 250. Mm-hmm. But this all depends. It depends on a lot. It depends on your equipment, how much time you have.
Right.
And me personally, I have a grill. I mean, I have a lot of time to do, you know, my ribs. We normally do our ribs at 225.
Right.
We do other big pieces of meat, you know, down at 200. But for ribs, we do at 225, and we do them until we reach an internal temperature of about 185, 190.
Not bad.
190 is 190 is kind of a... You know, a lot of folks say 190 to like 205 right in there.
Yeah.
I like my ribs with a little pull, so I'm going to go closer to the 190 number.
Right.
And the thing about the internal temperature of ribs is, you know, the meat is right there between the bones, which can kind of throw your thermometer off. And so sometimes we use that bend test.
Right. You know, to see if it's done.
Right, where you take that rib and see how it bends, and if it just cracks a little bit right there, yeah, that rib is done.
Right.
Done. So you go by time, and then when you get close to the time, then you're thinking, wow, okay, it's time to come off. Yeah. But the thing about it, time, though, is it just depends on your equipment.
It does.
It depends on your equipment. And we're going to do an episode where we're talking about, because most of the time you know your equipment, but when you're going somewhere and you're using like equipment that you're not familiar with.
Sounds like he's talking from experience.
yeah. So that podcast is coming up.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
All right. So there we go. So we talked about the internal temperature.
Yeah.
But let's talk about how you set up the grill or the smoker. And
yeah. So what you want to do on your grill, especially a gas grill or a charcoal grill, if you're using grills, because you can also use your smoker as well.
Right.
You want to do indirect,
right.
Direct and indirect. And you want to cook this indirect.
That's absolutely right.
And that way it's low and slow. So on one side is going to be the direct side and the other side is the indirect side. And you just keep checking on that guy. No looky-loo. So that means you're checking on him every now and again just to make sure and she's cooking just fine.
Right. I mean, and the thing is, those smokers, like those pellet smokers or the electric smokers or the other smokers, they're all indirect anyway.
Right.
So, but like you said, when you're using the grill, you need to set it up for indirect cooking.
Right. Two zones as needed.
Two zones.
And what you can do is, again, your wood pouch, you put that on the direct side.
Absolutely.
So that way, especially when you're warming up the grill, and then that way the smoke is already there, and then you just go ahead, lay it in, and just let it go.
Yeah.
It's
You mentioned the wood pouch, which we've talked about in a lot of other episodes, but just for the folks that haven't heard the other episodes, tell us a little bit about that wood pouch for the gas or electric grill.
Well, let me tell you, this is what you're going to do. So what you do is, first, you find the best wood that you can find. It's called hickory. That's the best wood. I'm just telling you now.
You're talking about chips, right?
Yes. You just find the wood chips. Yeah, and don't put the blocks in there. That is a lot of aluminum foil. So go ahead. You get the chips. And you get aluminum foil. I am not good at measuring. I just want to let everyone know. I always go, like, get a lot of aluminum foil, but not that much. That's like similar of like, where's the nearest store? Well, go down this road, go down that road, take a left on this road. And when you see this, go over that way.
Yeah.
Get aluminum foil. Put I always do about a handful of wood chips.
Yeah.
And you want to cover up those wood chips with the aluminum foil. And then you're going to fold it on the sides to the side just a little bit. About like, I'm going to say an inch.
Yeah.
And then you're going to fold the bottom and then fold the top. Poke a hole on the top so that way it has room for the smoke to come out.
Right.
And then you just throw it on there. And it'll just depend on how much meat you're cooking. So if you have a lot of meat that you're smoking or that you're cooking, really, or grilling, just go ahead and add a little bit more chips. You want to measure the chips based upon how much meat that you're cooking. So that way it gets into all the meat evenly. That's what I learned on my grill.
Yeah. No, that's a perfect. Make the wood pouch, seal it, poke some holes, set it on the direct side,
and then let it go.
And as you're preheating the grill, you want to throw those chips
absolutely.
On as you're preheating the grill. By the time you're ready for the meat,
yes,
then it's already there. Smoking.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
All right.
I've had an opportunity. Well, not opportunity. A situation where I had to replace my wood chips.
Yeah.
Because it just no more smoke was coming out, so right, I had to switch it out. And just put in another one in, and then just finish up the grilling that way. Just depends again on the meat that you're cooking and how long it's cooking for.
Yeah, I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So I think we've hit everything here.
Besides when you take it off, what do we do when we take it off?
We let it rest.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's probably a good idea.
You know, once you reach the internal temperature, you've already checked it.
Yep.
And then you're going to pull those ribs off there. I'd say let them rest 5 to 10 minutes.
Yep.
Sitting there, and then they're ready to cut into and serve.
I love it.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff you could do to these ribs. Some people like to, and we'll talk about those because some people watch a lot of these competition shows, and they like the really sweet ribs. And so we didn't talk about wrapping ribs. You can wrap ribs. I'm not a rib wrapper.
Right.
You know.
No? Yeah, not a rib wrapper?
No.
That's not part of the profile?
No, that's not part of my profile. But what happens is when those ribs are, say, 60% done or whatever, I mean, you could take those ribs and you can wrap those ribs. And what happens is a lot of people, when they wrap them, that's when they'll put butter, brown sugar, and they'll add different things to sweeten those ribs up, and then they'll seal them. And at that point, they'll just let them cook to temperature.
Right.
And at that minute, so those are the rib wrappers.
Right. The rib wrappers.
Yeah, and there's a lot. I mean, a lot of people do like wrapping a rib.
They do.
Like I said, with the right equipment, I don't prefer that.
Right.
But if you're looking for those competition style ribs, you know, with that sweet glaze on them and everything, then that's when you do it. I mean, if you watch those shows, that's when they do it.
Makes sense.
And, right.
And we also did not give our PSA, there we go, about our PA, was it personal announcement? What was it? What are they called those? My goodness. Anyway, our public service announcement. There you go. Yeah. PSA. Okay, PSA, I got there. Right, I'm there. Right, I'm right, there, folks.
Right.
No boiling your ribs.
Oh, yeah.
No boiling
the
ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like in The Incredibles, no capes.
No capes.
No boiling the ribs. I mean, so a lot of times, especially if people have, you got a big crowd coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do the old cheat, and that's either parbroil or boil or something where they pre-cook the ribs.
Right.
But what you lose a lot of flavor there.
You do.
You lose a lot of flavor when you do that and pre-cook ribs or pre-cook the chicken or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so my recommendation here is, if you don't have time to barbecue the right way, then, you know, go buy some barbecue.
Right. Or have cereal.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, no parboiling.
No.
Or no boiling the ribs or the chicken or the anything.
No.
Okay. That's barbecue sacrilege.
Exactly. Just put it on the grill.
Yeah.
Just put it on the grill, the smoker.
Yeah. Low and slow.
Yes.
Yeah, no cheats.
No. You can't cheat low and slow.
Yeah, no, you can't.
No.
So.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm ready to make some ribs now.
Yeah, so all I'd say to you all out there is, so, you know, grab some ribs, fire up the smoke or the grill, and remember, good barbecue.
Yes.
Is both an art and a science.
Ooh, it is. Oh, my goodness. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So we really appreciate you listening in today. You know, I'm still talking here. Yeah. We really appreciate you listening in today on Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast. This is Ken Alexander. and my co-host, the doctor. Dun, 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 dun. We look forward to you listening in on our next episode. Thank you.
See you next time.